many, many thanks to the True Experience. I think we have one of the best rock and roll bands in of all churches. You notice also that ours doesn't blow your ears out? So nicely balanced that everybody could enjoy those very Unitarian Universalist lyrics in the last song. I hope you caught them. Where do bad folks go when they die? They don't go to heaven where the angels fly. They go to a lake of fire and fry. Words in the book of Revelation. A great favorite among many of our fundamentalist brothers and sisters. And I'm going to share a reading. Well, it's not really a reading. It's really a blues song. And it seems a little bit dopey to just read the lyrics of a blues song. And, you know, Mike is a rock and roller and a folk musician from central Illinois. I'm from Chicago. So now you'll see if just from Chicago, coming from Chicago means that you can sing the blues. Be forewarned. Whoa, 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 what a beautiful city. Oh, oh, what a beautiful city. God knows, oh, what a beautiful city. 12 gates to the city, hallelujah and amen. 3 gates in the east, 3 gates in the west. 3 gates in the north, 3 gates in the south. That'll make 12 gates to the city. Hallelujah and amen. Whoa, whoa, what a beautiful city. Whoa, whoa, what a beautiful city. God knows what a beautiful city. 12 gates to the city. Hallelujah and amen. If you see my mother there, tell her this for me. Tell her I'm on my way to the city, I meet her in Galilee. And it's 12 gates to the city, hallelujah and amen. Oh, what a beautiful city, God knows what a beautiful city. 12 gates to the city, a hallelujah. Lyrics by my colleague, the Reverend Gary Davis. Well, I invite you now to sing hymn number 357, yet another musical number from the book of Revelation, if you'll believe it, in a UU hymnal. Thank you very much. That one's a challenge. You know, we've been kind of taking a tour through the American idiom of music. I was standing right next to Denise, one of the other Southern Italian persons in the congregation, singing that Kentucky idiom just beautifully, because she's from Kentucky originally, right? We come from everywhere, and who knows where we're heading? Who knows where we're heading? Well, blues man and Baptist minister Gary Davis took the beautiful city in that song from the book of Revelation, which is not a very popular source of readings for liberal churches like this one. It is a favorite in fundamentalist churches, and for authors of that so-called Christian fiction, like the popular Left Behind series of novels and its spin-off video games that were distributed to U.S. soldiers in the early days of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars to add, I guess, a holy edge to their fighting spirit. It's filled with signs and prophecies. And so it's often in the news when some religious leader starts preaching that the end time is near because he or she has spotted something that seems to fit with what the book says. Well, here's one place where people get that idea of the rapture that'll take the righteous straight to heaven, leaving their cars to roar on down the road without a driver. Some try to warn us by posting a bumper sticker on the back of their car. Kind of dumb, right? I've never seen one printed backwards and posted on the front bumper, but I would appreciate the courtesy in case one of these saints is driving behind me when the rapture comes so I can take evasive maneuvers. Now, evidently, there are now services that will send sinners to take care of your pets when the rapture comes. They actually have lined up non-Christians who can't expect to be saved, and they'll come take care of, you know, of your dogs and cats. Okay. Well, the book of Revelation is also known by the Greek name of Apocalypse. Both words simply mean unveiling, like Mike did last week. Unveiling. Taking off the veils, removing the cover from what's been hidden before. What's now revealed is a striking set of phrases, images, and even numbers that have permeated art, literature, and music. They've impacted education and politics, and they've enjoyed a resurgence of influence in recent years. This is where we hear of the Alpha and the Omega, where we meet the great whore of Babylon, where we learn that a trumpet shall sound for the second coming of Jesus, arriving on the clouds like a bright morning star. Now listen for some movie and song titles in what I read next. There will be a pale horse with a pale rider who might look like Clint Eastwood. This is just one of the famous four horsemen of the apocalypse. And four is just one of the famous numbers that we find in the book of Revelation. The horses appear when the seven seals are opened on a scroll that God holds in his hand. While the wicked go down to a lake of fire, there will be 144,000 righteous souls who will have the name of Jesus written on their foreheads. Here's where the Jehovah's Witnesses and others get the idea that the righteous will be in that number when the saints go marching in after the Battle of Armageddon. It's a Greek contraction of two Hebrew words, Har Megiddo, Mount Megiddo. It's the scene of some important battles in the past. But for Revelation's author, Armageddon means the last battle between the forces of God and those of the beast who will rise to dominate the earth. He'll have seven heads associated with the seven hills of Rome, which had long dominated the Mediterranean world. Then, of course, there's the number 666. I want to make a horror movie that starts and someone's looking at the clock, and, you know, 655, 59 comes, and then it keeps going. It's 666, 661, 66. Think I could make some money off of that idea? I don't know. Anyway, that's the mark that the beast will try to write on every forehead when he takes power. Those who refuse to wear it will be killed until they rise again. Revelation is a book that presents us with so many imaginative threats. But let's not forget its many promises. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Many people who talk about the book of Revelation also like to talk about who is going to heaven and who is not. Why we will and why they won't. But if you actually read the book, something I recommend that people do sometimes, it says that a new heaven and new earth will come down to us, all fresh and beautiful. There will be a new Jerusalem, a beautiful city. Oh Lord, what a beautiful city. Revelation dwells with special love and detail on its gates and draws our attention to another number, 12. It had a great high wall with 12 gates. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian.
The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprase. The 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, but transparent as glass. So we get the idea of the pearly gates. Pure gold, but you can see right through it. Clearly, the greatest feature of this city is its openness, its transparency. 12 gates like pearls, transparent as glass. It's an open, open city. The crown of new heaven and the jewel of new earth. You can see how this would bring a black preacher blues man from the pre-civil rights American South to sing out with joy about the promise of such a city, not far off and coming soon. 12 gates to the city, hallelujah. Gary Davis's song doesn't celebrate the jewels or the gold. It's the very fact of the 12 gates that he celebrates. Not their details. Three gates in the south, the same as the other sides. But now let's look east as we visit another beautiful city and another religious tradition. Revelation speaks of its beautiful city descending to the earth like a bride adorned for her husband. These days, many American cities have their sister cities in other parts of the world. Most of the time, most of us ignore our sister, except for every 5 years or so when there's a visit by her mayor and maybe a small delegation, a few photos in the local paper of our mayor on a trip over there. Maybe a tree planted or a wall plaque dedicated at City Hall. And that's that. What's your sister city? Do you know? Richland? It's somewhere in China for Richland. Kennewick? Where?
Somewhere in Japan.
Somewhere in Japan? Pasco? Okay. That'd be something good to learn. Has anyone ever paid a visit to a sister city? Yeah? Where?
Well, when I was in Florida, our sister city was Popayan, Colombia.
Okay, and you went there. All right, all
we
right.
We had an ongoing student exchange program.
Wow.
So there was, maybe 30 students a year we
were there. All right. Well, 2 years ago, I had the good fortune to spend a month in Salem, Oregon, sister city of Kawagoe, Japan. It's a great city for walking. Busy streets, few cars. Lots of walkers and bicyclists of all ages. There's a park not far from where we stayed that had some excellent outdoor exercise equipment designed to help you maintain and increase your flexibility. There's a curved bench you could drape your back over, like one of those big exercise balls. There was a free turning platform where you could place your feet and twist your hips to stretch your spine. And there was a device with wings and offset propellers and knobs you could hold while rotating your arms and shoulders. And people lined up to use them. So one morning, I wanted them all to myself. I went over around 5 in the morning. No dice. Not in Japan. The park was already full with folks in their 70s, 80s, and even 90s exercising together in small groups or in classes. Their level of flexibility and fitness would put most Americans in their 20s to shame. Well, during our first day, our first 10 days in Kawagoe, we were frequently in crowds of people numbering in the tens of thousands, but I only saw 3 people who could be called obese. To be slightly plump was not uncommon, but obesity is something that's extremely rare. We in Salem have a lot to learn from our big sister. Although its total area is smaller, Kawagoe's population is about twice that of Salem's. Downtown is a wonder, with a large shopping street that's closed to cars and filled with walkers. There's a Shinto shrine off to one side that you can, if you choose, approach by walking in your socks over a path of rocks that are set in concrete, sticking up in various patterns designed to give your pressure points a workout. And I mean sticking up like this much. Right? It's quite an ordeal, but well worth it. We noticed that we didn't feel hot or hungry after walking it once or twice. My son went 5 times and hasn't eaten since. It saved us a lot of money. Well, turn left past the shopping street, take a few turns, and you'll come to Kitain, South Temple, one of Kawagoe's largest and oldest Buddhist temple compounds, founded in the year 830. It includes a pagoda that left me slack-jawed. How do you plan such a masterpiece of proportion? What roofs you find on buildings in Japan. Roof hardly seems like a fitting term for such exquisite structures. They look more like the backs or the heads of living creatures. And the gates. No jewels or gold, but wood treated as something just as precious. Cedar and elm, carved and joined without nails like furniture. There are people selling snacks like stuffed pancakes filled with your choice of sweet bean paste or delicious egg custard. There are shops for souvenirs and religious items or cheap umbrellas in case of a downpour. Plenty of bathrooms in case of other needs. Admission is free except for the museum inside with its gardens. The entry fee for those helps to support upkeep of the whole of Kitain. It also allows you to see one of Kawagoe's greatest treasures. Tucked in a corner of the temple complex, there's a small walled enclosure. And then inside these walls, you'll find what are called the 500 Rakan, or Disciples of the Buddha. There are actually 540 of these small statues, carved between the late 18th and early 19th centuries. There's a statue of the Buddha in the center, of course, looking as serene as always, even as a bright green praying mantis crawls across his face. But here, it's the disciples more than the teacher who get your attention. Here's a disciple who loves dogs, and there's his dog. It's one statue. His neighbor has a bunch of cats crawling all over him. This one loves fishing. And look, he's got one on. This one is stern and unsmiling. Looks like a regular grouch. Here is one laughing. And here is one who looks wondrous like a child. Here's one who's all skin and bones. And another who's nothing if not roly-poly. These two are sharing a joke together. That one has fallen asleep. And look, there's even one who's picking his nose. Right there on the cover of your order of service. They go on for row after row after row, all more or less the same size, and all on a roughly equal level. And all are wearing away equally in the elements. Summer, winter, rain, snow, wind, wearing away right along with the Buddha himself. The praying mantis has moved over for a cicada now that's buzzing on his nose, which, being the Buddha, he does not pick. In this land of amazing roofs, there's none over this group of 541 companions, master, and disciples. You could read a Buddhist message in this that there's no magic to prevent our own elements from passing on their way. Part of us for now, but part of something else before and after. There's no secret glue or self that holds it all together. It's all open. There's no roof to hold our being in. No basement to anchor it forever. That's Buddhism in a nutshell, explained as architecture. Of course, there are also Buddha images at Kitain that are kept indoors, safe from dust and dirt, covered in gold leaf, and given such lavish care as if they were alive. Who knows which style of care the Buddha would prefer, or if he cared for such things at all. The beautiful city of Kawagoe provides no explanation for the meaning of these statues, at least not in English. But it's hard to miss the message that there are many many ways to enter the company of religious or spiritual seekers. It's like the city in the book of Revelation, but with many more than 12 ways in, at least 540, and maybe more than that. Every possible human disposition can become a gateway to truth and understanding. That's a comfort. You'll also find a wide variety of human dispositions here, as you would at any church or mosque or synagogue or temple. How many gates are there to this church? How many ways to enter, rejoice, and come in? If you look on the back of your order of service, I hope you'll find at least 13 big ones. Each of those seven principles can be a gate, and so can all six sources. Maybe the search for truth and meaning is what brings you here. Or the struggle for justice, equity, and compassion in a world where these seem scarce. Maybe Jewish and Christian teachings about loving our neighbors as ourselves brought you in. Or concern about idolatries of mind and spirit. Or a curiosity about world religions. Or perhaps a direct experience of transcending mystery and wonder has given you something that you hope to share with others. Maybe you come in through a different gate every time. I hope that each of us will try them all. They're not all easy, and any one of them can feel at times like walking on your socks over a pathway of protruding stones. But I trust they'll hit your pressure points in a way that does you good, which you can also recommend to others. It's always possible that one or more of these gateways might become your way out as well, as you pursue a journey that's more intensely focused in one direction or another. One of the former ministers here, Harold Rosen, has become a Baha'i. That was just that after years of UU ministry, that opened up for him. But may your time among us serve you well. There's a legend in our sister city that if you go after dark to the statue garden and touch each of them with your hand, you'll come to one that feels especially warm. You should mark that spot with a coin, then come back again in the daytime. The disciple that felt warm will be the one that most resembles you on the inside, if not on the outside. I wonder if mine would be the grouchy guy, or the one with the childlike smile. The fisherman, maybe. Or the nose picker. Maybe more than one would feel warm. I don't know. I only went in the daytime. I'd love to go at night if the gates are really open. Returning to the West and the book of Revelation, we find something curious as its author's vision is filled with the beautiful city. The very center of the old Jerusalem was its temple, but this one is different. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The author is using the Christian language that he knows to express what we might call a direct experience of transcending mystery and wonder. Something that makes you stand there slack-jawed like a silly tourist or a wide-eyed child. You could find at least 12 other ways to put it, or maybe 540. But put on your sunglasses now, because by its light shall the nations walk, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it, and its gates shall never be shut by day, and there shall be no night there. They shall bring into it the glory and the honor of nations. The 12 gates never shut by day in a city that has no night and no temple. No need to light a lamp unless it's for the pure pleasure of doing so. For the glory and honor of the nations, which is the Bible's way of speaking of all the peoples of the earth. Can this city be a temple that's for everyone? A monument to diversity, variety, and a richness that can only belong to all of us, but never just to some. Revelation is one of the favorite books for those who preach a religion of exclusivity, my way or the highway, with the empty cars of those who've been raptured away careening into yours. The next time, though, that you hear someone speak of it this way, please, that's no time to stand there twiddling your thumbs or picking your nose. I hope you'll take that opportunity to light a small lamp and politely remind whoever is speaking that there are 12 gates to this beautiful city, not just one, and that it's not a place where we go when we die. We don't even need to wait for it to come down from heaven. We can start to build it right where we sit or stand. Right here. Yes. And yes, right now. So may it be.